Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
I don't know if that's insulting your wife or insulting Ben.
As I turned up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind.
He's like, no, I'm not.
In the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them need?
Oh no, drama.
A sonorous disregard, a broken bottle top, and one man's soul.
Bum bum bum!
They got nowhere to go. That's the wine I want you to know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways.
Every panel, there's somebody new!
Hey, and welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman. I'm Aaron, I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess, and this is a retry episode.
I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week. Crickets.
Here on the Brotherhood of Batman. Ben is absent. We tried to record this episode a couple weeks ago, and we forgot to hit record on the device. And I think that probably was the first time in 240 episodes that we started talking and didn't realize that we hadn't hit the record button. So... yeah, that's not something we do every day. So it's been a while since we read this, so it's probably going to be a pretty short book review episode with just Jake and I. But, you know, Ben's busy. Everybody's got lives, so we're going to be getting stuff out to you as soon as we can, and we'll hopefully enjoy this little random whatever we're going to talk about today.
Yep. Ben will be joining us again in a couple weeks, but we wanted to make sure that we were getting some episodes out for you guys. And... forgive us if we don't remember what the hell we read.
It's all right. Nobody reads anyway.
So, what's going on in your geeky little world, Aaron?
Stop talking about comic books, or what do you think you're doing,
nerd?
Stop spending.
Get those nerds! Nerd!
Nerd! Or I swear to God, geek. You're gonna spend your 20 years alone.
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Oh, what's been going on? It's my summer has ended. I go back to work in a couple days. I'm going to use tomorrow's my last day with no work. The boys start camp. So it's I get one day of everybody gone, which is nice. So I'm going to think after we leave here recording, I'm going to go pick up some ribs and spend the day tomorrow barbecuing out in the garage and nice. Just sitting listening to podcasts and not having anybody telling me they need to go somewhere or want to do something.
That'll be wonderful. A nice way to put an end cap on your summer.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. And Toby has gotten me hooked to stupid Marvel Snap, which is the phone game. If you haven't, if you're a Marvel fan or you like quick little phone games, it's a fun one. It's definitely been fun to play, and he's been showing me some different videos of people that rage quit and like just destroy each other because of the way the powers on your game can build up. If you haven't played it, it's basically like you get 12 cards, you have three locations, you try to win two of the locations to beat your opponent, and each of the cards has different abilities and energy values and point values, and they can stack, they can move, they can destroy, all that stuff. So it's kind of it's a fun game. It's online, it's quick, nice and something to do.
What kind of deck are you currently playing?
I have a destroy deck and I have a move deck, so I've been kind of just playing between those based on whatever the challenges are, trying to unlock enough cards to make some other decks.
Yeah, I really like how customizable it is. There's definitely a meta for the decks that people play the most and are, you see, I can tell in the first two cards, I'm like, oh, I'm playing a destruction deck or I'm playing a movement deck. But then you have the weird, I like trying to go against the meta and make as random of garbage decks as I can that people don't know how to play against, and that's my favorite thing to do.
So. No, that's fun. What's your deck that you're doing now?
Well, it's not. Mine's probably a little bit closer to a more popular meta deck, but I'm winning a lot with an Ultron deck.
Okay.
Who fills all empty spots with 1/1 robots.
Oh.
But he multiplies like Ultron does in the comic. And I really like that they do a little bit of a flair with each character like that. Like a little bit of you know, like Daredevil gives you sight into what your opponent's going to play on a specific turn. That's a lot of fun. Yeah,
so that's cool.
I think that's one of my favorite things about the game. And then just the quick customizability of the decks. I mean, Noah and I, he's the one that got me on it, and we play very different styles, but we're pretty close in collection level, but we've been given very different cards. So he has like 20 cards I don't have, and vice versa. So like, you play against people who don't even have the access to build the same kind of stuff as you do. So
yeah, but it's also some skill-based matchmaking based on where you are.
Yeah, and I like the poker aspect of it. Like, you're obviously playing over the internet against somebody you can't see, but you have to predict what they're going to do. And there's cards that react, like, if they appear at the same time as your opponent's cards do. And so, like, trying to fire those triggers is a lot of fun, and like the gotcha moments, and
trying to get somebody to, I know you're gonna play here, so let's use that to my advantage.
But I definitely have rage quit in morning plays.
Same.
Phone has almost been chucked across the room.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do. So yeah,
how about you? Not a whole lot. We're getting ready for our big family trip to Michigan that we take each year. So I've been buying some books that I'm looking forward to reading while I'm up there. I got the manga book, All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited. That's going to be my beach read, I think, this year.
You mentioned that the other day, and Kelly and I were at V-Stock out in South County, and I picked it up. I found it there. It was only a buck more than it was on Amazon. So I was like, well, I'd rather support a local place. So
yeah,
I picked that up, and haven't started reading it yet. But have you seen the movie it's based off of?
I have not.
Oh, okay. You need to see it. It's good.
Well, I want to read it. I'm going to read the book, and then I think I was going to download the movie onto my tablet so that we have a movie night after, or I have a movie to watch if I just want to sit around and do that.
Nice. I think Emily Blunt's in that too, I think.
Yes.
Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt. Yeah.
I think so.
Live, Die, Repeat, or Edge of Tomorrow. It had like two names, which is weird when movies do that.
That is weird.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other movies. Can you think of any other movie that had like the title switched?
Yes.
What can you
Brothers
think?
Justice.
Oh, yes. Yes. The Brothers Justice or Gleaming the Cube. Yes.
So it was Gleaming the Cube in theater and video release, but it was Brothers Justice when they put it on TV.
Because
apparently it goes that they thought that the TV audience wouldn't know what Gleaming the Cube was because it was a 80s, 90s skateboard term.
Yeah. Yeah. For a very easy trick, apparently.
Oh, is that what it means?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just thinking of like all the tricks that like, you know, been done since the 80s that are like taking it to a different level. And then you see like that, and you see Rad, the BMX movie, and the guy just does a backflip, and that's like how he won, was doing like some backflip only.
Well, I love the moment in Gleaming the Cube when he's angsty and as after his brother has died, and he goes and just skateboards all his emotions out, and he does all this like freestyle in this like warehouse setting.
Oh yeah,
but it's Tony Hawk doing all the freestyling.
Oh I think I remember that. Yeah,
like a very young, before like his big explosion of popularity, Tony Hawk doing standing in for Christian Slater. So
yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
You don't get much more rad or awesome as that.
No, not at all.
Other than that, I just started my rewatch of Black Sails. Did you ever watch that one?
I haven't seen that.
Stars TV show. It's basically, think Game of Thrones with pirates.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Black Sails.
Okay.
So it's definitely tries to capitalize on a lot of the season one popularity of Game of Thrones. So lots of nudity, lots of over the top adult content.
What streaming is it on?
It was on Stars. I have it on disc.
Oh, okay.
That I'm watching. But the main characters are Captain Flint and John Silver and Billy Bones. So like the Treasure Island characters. And so it's kind of building up to maybe Flint trying to find the treasure that he then that triggers the Treasure Island storyline.
Oh. When did this come out?
Oh, it's probably around the time that Game of Thrones started, like maybe season two Game of Thrones era.
Oh, so this came and then Game of Thrones just like took over because it was HBO.
No, I think Game of Thrones started and Starz is like, we need a show like this to do well too. And so, but I mean, it's decent. I mean, the acting isn't on the same caliber as Game, but I think it's fun. It's pirates, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a best of pirate collection. So like, people who weren't all in the same area pirating, they made characters here. So,
is it straight drama? Is there humor? Is it more like action drama, serious stuff?
So, yeah, action drama, serious stuff, but a little bit of tongue in cheek. Like, not as tongue in cheeky as like the Pirates of the Caribbean, but not as taking itself so seriously as Game of Thrones did. So,
gotcha.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's fun. I like pirates. It made 4 or 5 seasons, which is enough for me to be interested in watching a bunch of it. So
yeah, shows that know their time length are good. Like, you know, if you know you don't need to go past, like when you overstay your welcome. Like we're watching Barry right now on HBO. Have you seen that?
No.
It's pretty good. We're on like season 2. There's only 4 seasons. They just finished wrapping up, I think. And each season's like 8 episodes.
Nice.
And so it's, you know, it's tell your story and then be done, which is kind of nice. I like that. So
yeah, absolutely.
Don't overstay it.
Don't overstay it. Don't go to 94 issues and not know what to do with your characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit of Catwoman, Aaron.
Yeah.
All right, so long ago, we read Catwoman 91 through 94 and the trail of the Catwoman stories from Detective Comics 759. So the 91 through 94 are the final issues of the Catwoman Volume 2 series, the one that we started a while back and went through No Man's Land. Selina is losing her mind. There's somebody running around Gotham who is perpetrating Catwoman. That's not Selina. Hmm. And she's been trying to investigate that. And she's just cracking. She's losing it. And this leads to a confrontation with Batman and Deathstroke and her possible death. And then the trail of the Catwoman picks up with one Slam Bradley, detective extraordinaire, trying to find out what happened to Selina Kyle.
I'm sure he will be successful in that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because he's great.
Yeah. Was.
He was.
Yeah.
At some point. In Detective Comics number 1.
Yeah. Well, so it's been a while, but we've got, you know, Selina, you're led to believe, is it Selina going crazy? Is she not have memory? Is she doing this? Or is it her sister Maggie that's pretending to be Catwoman? Or is it vice versa? So it's kind of an interesting twist. I know, you know, when we had originally started talking about this episode, we had said, is she like kind of torn in two? Or she thinks that she's, you know, is she thinking she's losing it, like you said? Or is it like, did somebody do something? So who is she gonna, when she's thinking of these twos, she goes to confront Harvey.
Yes.
She goes to like, and was this you doing this to me? And, you know, I kind of saw the Harvey part coming. I don't know why I thought it was Harvey, but you know, you find out it's not.
Right.
What do you think of that part?
Well, I obviously love anytime Two-Face shows up. I cannot complain anytime that they throw a Two-Face in here. And I thought it was, if they're going to end her series, which this was setting up, this was kind of the final climax of her storyline that had been going on for a while, that you need some of the big, broader cast to help you close it out, right? You know, they need to tie up their own loose ends, but it helps to bring some familiar heavy hitters in.
Right.
So, I questioned her investigation skills. Like, she just immediately jumped to like, okay, well, somebody's convinced me that there's two of me. It must be Harvey Two-Face. Like, well, that's not really Harvey's MO.
Right. No,
like,
not at all.
That's not really, he doesn't manipulate people's minds as often as we've read him. So
it may have just been like a writer's, well, let's bring Two-Face in. I want to draw him today.
Yes. And you find out that it isn't Two-Face, but it is another Rogues member. A few issues back, she had a confrontation with a Scarecrow, and he apparently implanted some seeds of deception into her mind or something that split her psyche.
Yeah, and that's something we didn't read, which we probably didn't need to, because I think the suspense would have been gone if we had known right away that Scarecrow had done something to her.
Which I don't think you did know when you read those issues. And I think we talked about this in the missed portion of our last episode that we didn't record. But a lot of the loose ends that are being pulled together here in 91 through 94, I didn't have us read for the show because they've been sprinkled from the last 15 issues, 20 issues of Catwoman. And so I'd be reading these pages here, these pages here. There wasn't enough body of her story that involved the greater Batman cast that really was terribly important. Her dealings with Harley and them going after Gordon and involving the mayor probably was a little bit more important to the story. That would have maybe filled in some questions that we all had.
Yeah.
Why the mayor hates her so much and why Gordon specifically was trying to hunt her down. So,
well, the mayor doesn't like her because she steals from him, right? And
well, she has something against him, right? Doesn't she have photos of him and another woman?
An affair.
Yeah, I think she has something on him.
He's trying to maintain pretenses. And you've talked on the podcast about not liking Scarecrow. Is it, you don't like Scarecrow because of some of the way he's drawn or portrayed? Or, like, I feel like when it's a dark Scarecrow,
yes,
like, they could take like the scarecrow messing with Catwoman to the point where she doesn't know. I like that he can go that deep into messing with people. And
yes,
is it because they make him sometimes too cartoony? What's your thought?
I think so. Yeah, and I think so much of it probably reminds me of your hatred of Black Canary. But there was the Scarecrow Year One that we read, and he was
with
just
him dancing. Is that
yeah,
the
kung fu dance fight or whatever he did.
Yeah.
And it was so borderline silly that I couldn't take him seriously after that.
Yeah.
I really do like what you just said, like him manipulating people and being kind of the puppeteer of people's fear. I love that idea. And the long play with Scarecrow, I think, is a really good way to tell his stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Let that fear build up in people to the point of them going crazy or, you know, physically harmed or something.
Has there ever been a team-up of Scarecrow and Mad Hatter? Because we read the Mad Hatter one where it was the coffee and he's taking over and manipulating the police. I wonder if there'd be a way, like, the two of them could be a pretty formidable if they were able to...
It's a lot of mind control.
Together.
Yeah. I'm going to find you a Scarecrow and Mad Hatter issue. Just for you, Aaron.
No, I don't necessarily need one, but I'm just curious. I don't know.
And I think, I really liked what they did with Scarecrow in No Man's Land when he was in the church and he was laying the seeds, he was toying with people's trust issues and getting people fearful of their friends. And right. I think that's a really great way to play Scarecrow. But I think he can be very cartoony. He can be very tongue-in-cheeky. And Mad Hatter is also borderline. Like, I think all of Batman's villains probably are. Like, there's a fine line being like, wow, this guy is scary and cool at the same time, or what a dope.
Or he's totally unhinged, or he's just totally a moronic. Yeah. I think a lot depends on the art. And
yep.
I think a lot just depends on what you probably are exposed to first.
That's fair. Yeah.
I mean, my hatred of Black Canary doesn't come anything from the comics. It came from the stupid Arrow TV show.
Right.
Or just really badly portrayed. Nothing against the actress. Nothing. It just was the character and the development, and it just was not good. So don't want to see her.
That's fair.
So, you know, maybe you're reading that Scarecrow book, kind of put that in your head.
I think that book tainted me in Scarecrow. So I'll have to find some Scarecrow that I actually like, maybe. I'll try.
That's fine. So Catwoman does break out of Scarecrow's trance. She's able to do that. And then she's like, she's going to, the mayor's looking for her. She decides she's going to leave for Hong Kong, and then she doesn't leave. And so I was like, is this a writer's issue that we're like, oh, we don't have the time to develop the story longer in Hong Kong? Never mind. She's going to stay here. I just made note of that. I was like, she's like getting already packed. She's leaving. And then it's like, oh, wait, no, we don't have time to develop a Hong Kong thread. So we'll just keep her in Gotham or wherever she is.
I would hope that they went into this story knowing that, you know, these were their final issues, but maybe he's like, oh, you know, issue 100 is going to be our Hong Kong arc.
And yeah.
This was issue
93, so he must have been like, no, you have one effed. Oh, well, I guess she's not going to Hong Kong.
Scratch that out.
Never mind. She left her passport at home.
Well, the mayor really, really hates her. Like, he hires Deathstroke to kill her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not a cheap, like, proposition. That's
no,
not, yeah.
Not at all. And but before that, as Selena like comes back, she goes to this gym. She does some training. Oh. She challenges this like any boxer or whatever to beat her, and she promises this brand new car that's outside. I loved when she loses. She tosses the boxer the keys, and it's like, it's a stolen car anyway.
Right.
It's like, oh man, you stuck this poor bastard with this car. That he's like...
Those moments, and then like
I love that part.
The idea of her having in a safe somewhere, you know, the leverage against the mayor, like those are the my favorite Catwoman kind of thing, mm-hmm. like traits, right? Like she isn't going to kill people. She isn't trying to take over people's minds, but she is looking out for number one, looking out for herself. And
I might have to confront you on that. She's not going to kill people part.
She's
not going to kill all the people.
Right. It's not what gets her off, right? Like, right. It's not what she's after. So.
No. So she does that, and then she does go see Penguin. And
oh, I forgot about
I
Penguin.
I love the portrayal of Penguin. I think that's quickly become one of my favorite Penguins, is this what we got in the last Batman movie, where he's running the club, he's running things.
Iceberg Lounge Penguin.
Yeah, I love it. I think he's pretty great, and it's not like they make him out to be a mastermind, like he's in control. We've had that throughout some of the No Man's Land stuff, where Penguin's pulling strings and manipulating and doing things, and people go to him for what they need, and I like that kind of Penguin style.
I wish we had that Penguin more in popular culture earlier. So that when they would have done I love Danny DeVito's Penguin, and I love the monstrous version that they did, and
oh yeah,
it's very Tim Burton-y.
Don't love DeVito Penguin. Stop listening now.
But I kind of had always hoped that like in the Nolanverse or even a little bit before that, they would have done Bob Hodgkins as Gangster Penguin. I think he would have been perfect. The guy from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And he would have just been absolutely great as a villainous gangster penguin. I think he's a little too old right now, and Colin Farrell really captures it, and I'm glad they're doing it now. But
yeah, no,
that was always my dream cast for him.
That would have been a good one. That would have been good.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree. That is the best version of Penguin. You know, the top hat and the tuxedo is fun, but it borderlines that silly.
Right.
And then the monstrous is kind of not used very often. It shows up every now and then, but
right. Yeah, like the grotesque, like everyone's scared of him kind of.
Yeah.
Is that what you're, yeah.
Yep. So yeah, so we have Two-Face, we have Penguin, we have Scarecrow.
Deathstroke, Scarecrow.
So Deathstroke's hot on her heels, and so you mentioned that she wants to leave town, and she goes and pulls a bad job to get Batman's attention, and then they do their little cat and bat chase across the city.
And then she kisses him, like, passionately. Is this one of the first big...
This is kind of a big moment.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. I wrote down where is this episode playing in?
Yeah, this is actually the moment of why I put this story in, other than tying up the Catwoman arc, because Catwoman kind of started our podcast. This is the one moment I wish Ben was here to discuss with us. We did discuss it before, but we lost that. But this is kind of her making the move, and Batman's like, we've done this on and off again thing a lot, where, you know, it just can't be. And she's like, just leave with me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not asking you to run away forever. Just give it a week. Just come away with me and see if this actually can be a thing. And she made the move. She made herself a little bit vulnerable and, you know, put herself out there. And he ends up turning her down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this the one? I'm trying to look at my notes. She got put together her new suit in this one, right?
No.
Okay, never mind. Ignore that. That's next.
Yeah, that's next.
Okay, yeah. My bad. All right.
She leads him to the building that they met in year one, and they're on the rooftop and everything, and that there's some comments about that. And before too much can happen and the discussion can go too far, Deathstroke comes and the big confrontation happens.
Yeah, and he's really, like, subtle about his way of going after Catwoman. He only hangs from a helicopter in his bright suit and is just firing randomly at them. He has the option to take both of them out, like, at one point. He's like, I can do both of them. And
With the reputation that Deathstroke has for being a master assassin, he's just flying around in a helicopter with a rifle and a bazooka. And it's just,
like, this is not, like, I mean, the attention that you're drawing to yourself.
Yeah.
It's not like anybody's going to question who it was because you're in a disguise. No, you're in your costume with a giant sniper and bazooka, and it's going to be pretty clear who's going after whatever in here. But
yeah, and he just kind of lays waste to the area. Catwoman tries to escape and gets blown up. Deathstroke takes out a gas truck where she was trying to duck for cover, and presumably she's dead.
Yeah.
End of story. End of her series.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be sad.
Unfortunately, it's given away in the end of its own issue that she's not dead.
Right.
Some homeless people find her and have her in a grocery cart.
It's like, I really wanted to believe that Azrael was just, like, standing around at the fire pit at those times. Just like
just
John Paul, like, what's going on?
I know her. So then the detective issues 759 through 762. We read the Batman part of these detective issues in our review last time, but this is the secondary story of Slam Bradley, who comes from Detective Comics number one. He's the original DC detective.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been hired by the mayor again to make... Mayor doesn't believe that Catwoman's dead. And so he's like, find her and find out what happened. Mm-hmm. He's like, you want me to find a dead woman?
Right. How's that going to work? What do you think of the art in here? It seemed very old. The kind of, like, a lot of it was nine, like, square panels, like, nine square panels, kind of like a
three-by-three. Yep.
It reminded me, like, Dick Tracy-ish style. Did you get that?
Yeah, absolutely. The three-by-three page layout, something that was utilized a long time ago and utilized almost exclusively back in, you know, Silver and Golden Age comics. And then, it's not used as much anymore. They page break and they explode panels or splash pages and stuff like that. But it has a very specific pacing as you read it, right? Mm-hmm. It's beat, 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 mm-hmm. beat,
yeah,
beat.
Totally.
The entirety of Watchmen is done in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With no splash pages, no extended panels. I think there's one or two splash pages in the whole book.
Really?
But it's just beat, 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 beat. And, you know, if you want to go into the way that comics are created, like, it's done specifically to create a motion and a storytelling trick.
Intention and all that. Yeah. Okay.
So I liked it. And I think it fits that noir.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having, I mean, it's told from Bradley's point of view for most of it, and he, you know, was investigating. It had very much of a detective-y feel.
Yes,
like, this is what I'm doing. Now here's what I'm doing. That's my next step. And blah 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 blah. And he does visit Bruce Wayne early in his investigation and trying to figure out. And Bruce Wayne gets offended, but does he actually give him a clue to Selina's true identity, or do you know what I mean? I'm
trying to remember that part. Help me remember.
Let's see. The body is not Selina's. So he's starting to put two and two together that she's alive.
Oh, yeah. He digs up the...
The body, and it's not hers through testing. And so he visits Bruce Wayne because I'm not sure why. I think because maybe he was seen with Selina or...
Yes. So the public doesn't know Selina and Catwoman are one and the same.
They
know
That's
that
the
there's
point
a...
of a secret identity.
In the Catwoman series before 91 and 94, Catwoman was blamed for killing Selina.
Right, right.
So that's why he goes to maybe Selina Kyle's body has some clues as to where Catwoman is, mm-hmm. which is weird. But I think Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne still had a public
some kind
connection
of public
at
connection.
Some point.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I don't have the book in front of me anymore, but it seems like Bruce got offended when he's being questioned. And to me, it's like, is Bruce like trying to throw Sam off by being offended? But Sam took it as, oh, there's something here. And now I'm going to investigate that further. I don't know. If you've read it, dear listeners, just let us know what you think.
Yeah. I don't remember the moment, but I'm now thinking that like, I'm hoping that it's Bruce trying to purposely push Slam away from him mm-hmm. because Slam is a detective and Bruce doesn't want him looking into him at all, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, this is a dead end, go away, don't look any
closer. So maybe he's like, okay, I'm gonna have to throw her. Selina can handle herself. Like, if she's alive, she can handle herself.
Yes.
And she'll be fine. And, you know, if she kills Slam, okay, it's fine.
Because Bruce, Batman then confronts Slam after mm-hmm. that, right?
I think he did, yeah. Yeah, he confronts Slam after that, and then...
And Slam's got no time for the bat. He's not interested in this vigilante thing.
No, not at all. And then Selina shows up at Slam's office, which we had in one of the earlier stories. Didn't we have that?
No, we have that next.
Oh, God. Sorry. I've read a bunch of things that are coming up because of time and
yes.
No, so
and
I'm
recording
apologize.
Schedule
I'm
got a little
just
screwy.
Cut that out too. Yeah.
So yeah, she asks him to give it up and that she's trying to disappear and do some soul searching and wants to leave, and she's like, I didn't do all these things that people think I did, and if you just stop hunting me, I'm gonna go away.
Yeah, I'll leave. Yeah. And she ends up, he resigns from working with the mayor. He turns down, like, he's like, yeah, I'm not investigating her. She convinced him enough to let it go and that she's not going to be a threat or anything. And he resigns, and then he gets beat up by the GCPD, which the mayor sends them after him because they're like, you're not turning down my job that I told you to do. And
yeah, he takes a beating for her, and I liked that whole, you know, the woman waiting in the office with the blinds mm-hmm. and, you know, very detective story.
Oh yeah,
black
very,
and white.
Very much,
and
yeah,
I think it worked. And he had been feeling like maybe there was more to this than meets the eye as the his search went on before she shows up. And so it wasn't like a complete switcheroo. Like, he had already been kind of leaning towards, I don't think she's bad. I don't think she's doing all the things that they say she's doing. And he burns her file, which helps protect mm-hmm. the identity of Selina Kyle and
right.
Catwoman. So.
Yeah, I don't think that he'll come to regret that whatsoever.
So I have a question for you. If you could recast this story, would there be anybody that you would put... I mean, we haven't
as
read a lot...
Slam?
Yeah, we haven't read a lot about Slam Bradley. He is from Detective Comics, number one. He's the original, but... And I know why they were kind of bringing him back at this era of comics. Is there anybody else? Is there one?
That's somebody that I would... he's already been in a bunch of superhero roles, but I feel like if they could work on the costume and the persona, Josh Brolin could make a good dark detective.
Oh, okay. All right.
Like a Slam Bradley kind of style.
I'd watch that. And he's getting, you know,
he's getting up there. I mean, he played Cable in the Deadpool series and obviously Thanos.
Yeah.
But I think he's got that persona where if they, you know, that gruffer voice,
sure,
that I perceive, yeah, like a cigar smoking detective in the shadows that might have. So
I like it. And I'm glad that you went with casting because we had just been talking about that earlier in this episode. I was thinking if we took Slam out and put Joe Potato in. That's what I was going for.
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah.
I was a little disappointed that one Joe Potato didn't show back up.
Yeah, that would have been helpful if he was just like following on Slam's heels and was just like one step behind or something. Would have been funny too.
Oh, that would have been. And not even like mention
he
it.
He gets to the cemetery and the body's already exhumed. He's like, God damn it!
What did he used to say? Mama Potato didn't raise no spud or something?
Something stupid. Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was my one complaint about that storyline. No potato.
Yeah, that's too bad.
There anything else that, I mean, we talked about the kiss, we talked about her presumed death that didn't end up happening.
No, I think if I say any more, I'll probably be talking about things that happened down the road.
Talking about that. Well, let's talk about what we're reading next then.
Yeah, what are we reading next, Jake?
If you're reading along with us, the next books in continuity that we're going to cover are Selena's Big Score and Dark End of the Street.
Dun, dun.
We're going to read them together and do them in one episode. They pick up on what Selena's up to.
Yeah, and we're not sure when we're going to get to that. Jake and I, Ben's got some things, and Jake and I are going to try to put together some fun stuff.
Yeah.
That we may do some games, we may play a game, we may do some video games, or we may do an Elseworlds. I've got some ideas on some of that, so
yeah,
we'll have some things coming up. Hopefully just stay tuned, and, you know, our schedules get busy, but hopefully you listen when you get a chance, and we'll keep putting stuff out. Ben will be back. The sunshine will come tomorrow, someday.
Yeah, well, we've had enough sunshine here in St. Louis. It's hot as balls, so.
Yeah, it's pretty sweaty. Gross. Yeah.
What did we learn, Aaron?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, we learned some things about you, Jake.
Uh-oh.
I like pirates and Two-Face, but not Scarecrow. So,
yeah,
good to know.
That's about, that's good. Good. Yep.
All right. For the Brotherhood of Batman, I'm Aaron. I'm the old side of us. I'll clean this up.
And I'm Jake, the middle brother. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Old self, it is cleansed. This city's worth.